what do you think that are the main causes of this emergence of radical left parties in Europe? If you think that the vote for these parties is an emotional vote rather than a rational one?
Well, I would say, first of all, that the situation is not the same in the 28 countries of the European Union. It is true that in the last European elections, there was an increase of votes for these kind of leftist parties in Spain, for instance, in Greece, and maybe other countries. But this was not a general situation. In other countries, there were right parties or even radical right parties who had some wins, and in others, it was completely different. What I would say is that this situation, the fact of voting for parties which are more critical about the European Union and about the European construction, it's probably linked to a crisis which in some countries has been only a monetary one, but in another countries it was and it still is a very tough economic crisis. People link this crisis with the European Union, maybe not for the best or for two reasons, but this is the feeling they have. And this is why probably some of them in different countries decided to go and vote for parties which present themselves as an alternative to the mainstream parties which have been leading the European Union until now and still now, still right now.
So how do you manage to solve these differences of opinion between the principles of these radical parties, mostly Syriza, and the European Union? And what is the state of the negotiations right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, Syriza, it's not a party, it's a coalition of parties.
Parties.
And not all parties within Syriza are positioned in the same way. It would be quite difficult for me and probably for most of the members of the parliament to say that Mr. Tsipras is radical. It's clear that Mr. Tsipras comes from the left side of the ideological landscape in Europe, but being radical or being a radical left, it's probably another thing. Let's see what happens. Now he's prime minister. He has to, let's say, to accommodate to his new position. Now he's representing not a party nor a coalition. He's representing the whole state of Greece. He has to negotiate, and he's negotiating different things, including, of course, the economic and monetary situation for Greece and the lands by other member states of the European Union. What we are seeing now is something that we have seen in the past. I mean, sometimes the governments arrive to Brussels, come to Brussels with a different perspective of the situation and the solutions, and then there is a negotiation. This negotiation can be easy and short or can be difficult and long, but there is always a solution at the end. There is always a compromise, and I'm quite sure that this will be again the case. Tsipras promised to the Greek electorate something which, in fact, it's objectively impossible, because he was promising a haircut of the debt, and this is something that cannot be accepted by the countries who put money on the table, and it's logic. I mean, you can try to imagine this in your family or in your neighborhood. If you are lending money to someone, you expect this money back at some point, even if it's 30 years later. You are not there just to accept that the debt disappears because of political reasons. One thing is a party, and another thing is the government. You can be very radical when you are campaigning, and then at some point, if you get the government, you, of course, can still be quite radical or very radical, but sometimes the reality is there also to force you to be a little bit more moderate or less radical in the way you are presenting your targets. This has been the past experience in lots of places and lots of member states in the European Union. Let's see what happens in Greece. But this is an ongoing situation. These kind of negotiations have also a kind of a drama. And at some point, both parts need to show to their electorates that they pushed until the end to get a solution. Of course, if you interview different members of the European Parliament, you will probably get different sensitivities about this. From my own experience as an official, not politician, but official, what I have seen in the last years in Brussels, again, is that even if sometimes it's at the last moment or even a little bit after the last moment, there is always an arrangement.
Do you think that it's the same with Podemos in Spain?
Well, we don't know, because Podemos is still a party which until now never won elections. I mean, they are very, very young. I think no more than 1 year ago they were created. They took part in the European elections and they got a good result, but now we need to wait for local elections, the regional and the national elections in Spain before knowing what exactly happens with Podemos.
Leaders of the two left-wing parties are often saying that in the case of Spain and Greece, it is a failure of the European policies. How do you comment that?
This is a very political question, and as a spokesman of the parliament, I cannot enter into real politics, but just let me show you what the real situation is. The measures taken by the European Union before the economic and monetary crisis were the same for all the member states. And then the fact that when the crisis arrived, some member states were in a much difficult position than others is probably related more to the real state of the national economies and to the decisions taken by the governments in those countries before the crisis, that because of the measures taken by Brussels right after the crisis.
Are these remaining issues in dispute, and I refer to Greece in this matter, could threaten progress in the European Union?
I would say that the European Union cannot be in a kind of shaky situation every single day. I mean, we have spent five very difficult years because of the economic crisis, because of recession, because of austerity. It has been very tough for a lot of people. It has been also quite difficult for the European institutions. We needed a lot of European summits to arrive to the good results and to help some member states to cope with the consequences of the crisis. It's true that this situation also created a less constructive relationship between the citizens or part of the citizenship of the Union and the European Union institutions. What we need now, I would say, is a more calm period. It's a period where the Commission can do its job, where the European Parliament can help the Commission also in this job, and where the citizens can feel again that being members of the European Union is a kind of a safe warranty for them and not a ticket for a kind of adventure.
Do you think that the Syriza's ascent to power and now the excellent prospects of Spain's correspondent will start an anti-austerity movement across the Europe?
Well, this is probably the other way around. I mean, these parties are there because there has been an anti-austerity movement in some or in several member states since a while. They are probably one of the answers from part of the citizens in the Union to contest, to oppose these austerity measures.
And finally, what will the Eurozone lose if Greece will leave it?
I really don't think that Greece is going to leave the Eurozone. I'm almost sure and almost convinced that at the end there will be an arrangement. Then solidarity among the member states will play again positively, and then Greece will get what it needs now, which is a little bit more of time and a little bit more of consensus with European institutions to go on. I cannot imagine an European Union where member states leave the euro, because this would be absolutely opposite or contrary to the real sense of the European integration.